But first, a new play exploring the love story between two Australian literary icons.
Oh, he rides hard to race the pain. Who rides from love, who rides from home? But he rides slowly home again, whose heart has learned to love and roam.
The literary world has known some great love stories, but of those, the bush balladeer, Henry Lawson, and the poet, Mary Gilmore, don't necessarily spring to mind. Well, a new Australian play brings their little-known but surprisingly passionate love affair to the stage. All My Love, written by Anne Brooksbank and based on the letters of Mary Gilmore, has its world premiere season at the Joan Sutherland Performing Arts Centre in Penrith in Western Sydney, where it opens tonight. I'm joined by Kim Denman and Dion Mills, the stars of this two-hander, and by the director, Denny Lawrence. Denny, Kim, Dion, welcome to Books and Arts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A question for all of you. Were you surprised to learn that there was this relationship between these two giants of the Australian literary landscape?
Yes, I heard about this a long time ago because I've known Anne for many years and read the book upon which this is based. But I think probably Kim and Dion knew nothing of it and might like to say something about it.
Yes, well, no, I didn't know anything about it, to be honest. I knew a little bit about Mary Gilmore, more about Henry Lawson. And so even with regard to Mary, she's been sort of largely forgotten as well. But as far as their relationship, no, I didn't know about that at all.
Dion?
No, me neither. Mm. No idea.
Kim, you say that Mary Gilmore is unknown compared to Henry Lawson.
Mm.
What I think is that she stands quite apart, and I'm surprised that she's managed to live on without this kind of cloud of a relationship hanging over her. She exists quite apart from this relationship.
Yeah, she does. No, she was a formidable woman in her own right as an artist, as a writer and as a social reformer. My comment about her being largely forgotten is just that when I started researching for this project, it was very, very difficult to find anything about her, and her works are largely unavailable. Mm. So, you know, I was very surprised about that, and I think it's a great shame, so I'm very glad that we're doing this play. For one reason, to bring her back into the public consciousness, I suppose.
Mm. Although everybody sees her every day because she's on the $10 note.
Yeah.
That's one of the ironies.
Well, the irony is she displaced Henry on the $10 note.
That is the irony.
Dion, of course, Henry Lawson, larger than life. This role really fleshes out another side to the bush balladeer. In representations of Lawson, he seems so stern, so immovable. Again, like Mary Gilmore, he had passions.
God, yes, he had lots of passions. I don't think of him as stern at all. I see him as a boy trapped in a man's body. I think he was very shy and he was partly deaf, but he was hugely social, especially when under the influence of alcohol. I think it's one of the reasons he drank so much, was to overcome his shyness and a sense of isolation, which was a product of his very difficult childhood in part and his almost extreme lack of education, of formal education. So he had a great many insecurities, but I think at heart he was just this boy trying to make contact with others. And one of those people that he did make an intense contact with was, of course, Mary Cameron, as she was when he first met her.
Now, Denny, I'll bring you in there. Tell us your relationship with this play, a new Australian play being performed for the very first time. When did you come to know about this? You know Anne Brooksbank, the writer.
Yes, when Anne wrote the book, you know, back in the 90s, we talked about it. We've worked together in television. She is a writer, I as a director of some of her scripts, and we talked about this initially as a potential television project, and it's very hard to get a lot of interest in this kind of material, strangely or not, and the thought came that it would make a really good play and set about writing it. And a few years ago when I was working in Adelaide on another piece of theatre, we did a workshop of this play. So we gave it a reading, brought a few people in, let them have a listen to it, and then Anne went away and rewrote it quite a lot, and indeed has been doing so during the period of rehearsal. We've done quite a lot of reshaping because it's not a realist play in a sort of real-time, one-set situation. As Kim said, it spans quite a long period of their time, indeed from when they meet until Henry's death at the very least, and somewhat beyond. So it's been a really interesting process of evolving a piece of theatre out of this very complex web of relationships with the parents and other relations of these two characters, and trying to make that all work and coalesce through just two people.
It is a two-hander.
Yeah.
And how much is based on those, the actual letters? Was it correspondence between Lawson and Gilmore? Or?
Yes. Anne found a lot of this stuff when she was doing some research in the Mitchell Library some years ago. So she unearthed a whole lot of stuff that, in fact, was not normally available to the public. And in fact, they were embarrassed that she'd seen some of it. Mary had put an embargo on a lot of stuff that she didn't want people to see until everybody involved with their story was long dead. So Anne got access to it quite early on, and this relationship was then unearthed, and she read a lot of letters between them, and that forms a very key part of the play, and I won't give the plot away, but that's a very significant factor in their relationship and what made the relationship ultimately break down, since it's probably well known that they didn't end up getting married and live happily ever after, I can say that much. So it's very much an arcane kind of story that is about passion and love that's very much unrequited.
Now, let's hear an excerpt from an interview that Mary Gilmore did with the oral historian Hazel de Burgh in the early 1960s.
Well, he was very tall. He was tall and very thin in his younger years. He grew stouter a bit in older years. And, of course, he had that look of a vital life and a vital mind.
Yeah.
And the brilliant eyes. He wanted to marry me, of course. I didn't want... I thought my mother wanted it, but... And for a time, it was, I considered it halfway, you see.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I broke it right off, of course. And when I went I went to South America, when I was going, he came to me. And he went on his knees to me to beg me to stay. He said, if you go, I'm ruined. I said, Henry, you've got your life to live and I've got my life to live.
The way she tells it there, Dame Mary Gilmore speaking to Hazel de Burgh in the 1960s, she says there that she could live without him and that South America and that her socialist dreams were more important than the relationship. Is that the kind of feistiness that you bring to your portrayal, Kim, of this extraordinary woman? Radical socialist, feminist, ahead of her time.
Yes, she was very much ahead of her time, a very progressive woman and all those things you just mentioned. Yes, I do try to bring that to my version of Mary. However, this very much is a love story, I have to say, and very much, obviously, a two-hander between her and Gilmore and Lawson, and so it's very much about their relationship, but certainly their social activism is touched on in this piece, and that's where they were like-minded, I guess, as well.
Now, Kim and Dion, I'd like to ask you to perform just a snippet of the play for us here on Books and Arts. Mm-hmm. When you're ready, away you go.
Did you have a good journey?
It was long, but I like the train.
You came from near Broken Hill. It's dreary country, I'm told.
I find it rather beautiful.
Yeah, your mother's a journalist too, I hear.
Yes, but her writing's nothing like your mother's. Not as fiery. It's all recipes and flower arrangements, she says, and debating the new bonnet.
Yes.
She also writes a little for the Telegraph, though only one corner of a page. But the editor, John Farrell, talks of improving on that soon, of creating some true pages for women.
Now, my mother talks of it often, too. She's done her very best to persuade him.
My mother admires yours very much. She says she's the best woman in the world. She says she's never seen such energy.
Not many have. So what did my mother say to you?
That I was my mother's daughter, by the look of me. That she wished she could say the same of you.
Meaning what, do you think?
That she wished you were more like her, I suppose.
Sure she wishes that. What else?
That you're a looser character on the whole, but that our eyes are similar, yours and mine.
Do you think so?
No. Well, maybe. She told me to write her a piece on women in a mining town, how their lot compares with women in the city.
You've published work before, have you?
No, not yet, but I'm hoping. Well, we'll see. I told her I knew almost nothing about the city. She said I must look around, that I'd soon pick it up. Then she left, saying to my mother the tea was weak, she should complain, that it was remarkable about the eyes, and that she'd send you to call.
All in a single breath.
And whether you wanted to or not.
That was pretty much the way of it.
You could have said no, why didn't you?
If you say no to my mother, you must choose your battles.
Men you're not worth fighting.
I think I see that. Do you work? I mean, as well as write.
I used to paint carriages. Sometimes I paint houses. These days I mostly work for my mother at a printing press. I'm not considered a success.
Oh, aren't you?
You don't value success?
I think it can be overrated. Worldly success.
Well, you're unworldly, then?
No, not at all. My mother thought you might take me out walking this afternoon.
Did she? Why?
Because it's not proper for us to stay here alone with the bedroom only curtained off. She said it would cause comment in the boarding house.
I mustn't compromise you, must I?
No, you mustn't.
Well, my mother suggested it too. Let her show you something of the city. The suggestion isn't quite the word to use with my mother. Gave orders is more correct.
Shall we go then?
Oh, I could listen to you two forever.
Oh, that's nice. Thank
you. On Books and Arts, Kim Denman as Mary Gilmore and Dion Mills as Henry Lawson, reading from the new play All My Love, written by Anne Brooksbank. It's being performed for the first time, directed by Danny Lawrence. And Dion, incredibly nuanced performance. How are you able to, I guess, unburden yourself of knowing this is a historical figure and there's so much of an aura around Henry Lawson, particularly in this country?
Yeah, my biographical introduction to him was from Manning Clark's short life that he wrote in 1978. That provided a lot of, I suppose, psychological insight. I think that gave me a real sense of the man that I wouldn't have had in, say, from the more detailed biographies. There's the classic one from 1991.
Now, Kim, what do you bring to this character when you, you know, take away the history?
I think, look, with any character you play, you have to connect with it on a personal level and bring something of yourself to it as well. But I think that I'm just trying to... She starts off as quite a young woman in this piece, as a 23-year-old, new to the city, you know, eyes wide open. So I'm trying to bring that freshness to her because I know when I first started researching her and I listened to some of the audio recordings, like the one you played earlier, the Hazel DeBerg recording, and, you know, she was such a self-assured, confident, robust woman. But there was the young girl in her who was, you know, came to the city for the first time and was being introduced to the social conditions of urban life. I mean, she'd known it from a rural perspective. So I'm just trying to get a breadth, I guess, of age with her so that there is the young, vivacious, open-minded woman who turns into this kind of wise, motherly sort of figure, I suppose.
What is the, Denny, a question for you, what's the last correspondence between these two? Is it full of disappointment and loss, as we might imagine?
Well, sadly, the last connections that they had in the final years of Henry's life were somewhat sporadic, and there was contact. And in those days, people did still write letters because they didn't tend to pick up the telephone or have, obviously, email and other things. And she was well across what was going on in Henry's life, which included, of course, being in hospital, being in prison. You know, he was basically an alcoholic. So it was a very upsetting time for her, as she relates in her own writing. And we touch on all of that, that sort of sadness of being separated from somebody for whom you felt so much in your younger days, and seeing them, even as they write, continue to write wonderful work, as Henry did, begin to fall apart as a human being. And that's what Mary writes of, and that's what we deal with in the play. We go right through their whole relationship in their entire life.
Any doubt in your mind about the nature of this relationship between Lawson and Gilmore?
There's enough evidence in the written material that is, you know, certified historically, that there was a very deep level of feeling between them. So that's absolutely true. Now, to what degree that was realised, as in was it actually consummated, we have one take on it in the play. There is some ambiguity even around that. And of course, it's up to the audience and the reader to decide, because they were people of a certain time. They believed in a lot of openness and socialist ideals, but they weren't actually hippies. They weren't into free love. So there was a lot of restriction on them, placed on them by society in their relationship. And that's part of the frustration and the tension, that kind of unresolved sexual tension that is there between any two people, but particularly people of that time.
Kim and Dion, two-handers, you know, can be notoriously difficult. It's just you on stage, and so much is in the nuance, in the shadow, in the voice. It can be quite an intense thing to do a two-hander.
Yes.
It is.
Yes, it is. You kind of...
It's you and me against the world.
It is.
Yeah.
Luckily, I think we trust each other completely. I think I can speak for both of us. I think we trust each other and we've become good friends. And so, you know, you're just out there and you have to just, you know, what can you do? There is only two of you out there. It's true. A lot of the time there's only one of me out there, to be honest. So hopefully Dion will run on stage and save me if I need it.
We all need a savior every now and then.
Yes.
Kim Denman and Dion Mills, who perform the roles of Mary Gilmore and Henry Lawson, and director Danny Lawrence from the new production All My Love, which begins tonight at the Joan Sutherland Performing Arts Centre in Penrith in Western Sydney. Kim, Dion and Denny, thanks so much for being my guests.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the world premiere season of All My Love finishes with a matinee performance on the 21st of July, but the production will tour nationally.